May the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. There's a place in, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to share today, but this is really on my heart, and it's a prophetic word. I'll post it on Aslan either today or tomorrow. But Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is asking his disciples, beginning in verse 13, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he began asking his disciples, saying to them, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah as one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Barjona, because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven." I thought about that scripture a lot over the years. There's a lot of things that often the Bible's like a hologram. We've said this years ago a lot. And that as long as it doesn't contradict itself, we can see different things being said in different passages, but it's got to line up with the rest of Scripture. And I've contemplated this verse a lot over the years, over the decades, and one of the things I believe is it's a foundational word. In that for Peter, even though Peter didn't always get it right after this either, but Peter had a personal revelation of Jesus Christ and who Christ was. And foundationally, that's where Christianity starts, is you personally having a personal revelation of the presence of Jesus and who Jesus is and who Jesus is meant to be to you. One of the things I get concerned about, being a charismatic for almost 40 years now, and with all my heart going after everything the Holy Spirit has to offer, is that I get concerned because often charismatics get confused and they think power is the thing they're to go after the most. That's the most important thing, is to go after the power of God so they can affect people's lives with power. But that's not the truth at all. Scripture makes it very clear. It's the presence of God, and our relationship with that person is the number one priority. I said this Sunday, I said this a lot in the conferences that we did recently. It's infinitely more important what the Holy Spirit does in you than what he does through you. Because if you let him do all that he wants to do in you, it's limitless what he'll do through you. But if you build the life of ministry that isn't based on the character of Jesus, in the end, you'll discredit the ministry. It's Christ. And you fulfilling your destiny. We hear that word a lot, don't we? A lot of preachers and teachers talk about your destiny, fulfill your destiny, your destiny. So once again, what is your destiny? What is my destiny? What is our destiny? Because the truth is, it may be carried out in different vocational ways, but we all have the same destiny. It's a predestiny. We don't get to vote on it. It says the scripture in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, that there'd be people who are born again that would look like Jesus. And our predestiny is that we would be conformed to his image. Christ-likeness is your destiny. And any other destiny that tries to substitute that is a false destiny. It will move you in error and you'll actually do damage to the gospel. Now listen to what he says. And he whom and whom he predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, and whom he predestined, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And these he justified, he also glorified. We know that there's going to be a glory one day when we're changed into his likeness completely when we see him face to face. But this is past tense. This scripture says there's a glory if you're a Christian who have a predestination to be conformed to the image of Jesus. There's a glory you already have. And Colossians 1:27 makes it really clear what that glory is. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians chapter 3 says, for you've died, verse 3, and your life has been hidden with Christ in God. Now when Christ, who is your life, appears, manifests himself through you, you will appear with him in glory. Now, the reason that's important to me is Psalm chapter 11. And this is where I have a real burden. I've talked to you about this before. It's that scripture in 1 John talks about being sons and fathers and those kind of things. I think they're spiritual grandfathers. And my nickname, my name to my grandchildren is Babu. Babu is Swahili for grandfather. Baba is father. And so having done this for many decades now and taught for many, many years, and I'm old enough now to be a grandfather in the Lord. And as a grandfather, I have a real passion and a burden for the generation that God's raising up. I'm delighted because they have a radical desire to serve God. They have a radical desire to please God. They'll take risks. They're willing to shed the American dream to go after the heavenly vision. I'm grateful. But I have a concern is what's their foundation. Because if your foundation is signs and wonders, you'll end up discrediting the ministry. You'll end up out of balance. And God will be limited in what he can do through you. I'm all for signs and wonders. That's part of Christ-likeness. But as I said Sunday for you CTKers, God has a holy sequence. He always starts with in the beginning. You can't go after the beginning. You've got to have a beginning. God does things from the beginning. And the beginning is Christ-likeness within you. Then Christ-likeness in ministry through you. And it says in Psalm 11, verse 2, speaking of spiritual warfare, which is only going to increase in every generation. You know that, right? For behold, the wicked bend the bow. They make ready their arrow upon the string to shoot in darkness at the upright in heart. If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? And one of the things I'm witnessing a little bit that's frightening to me are people who have a great passion for God but don't have a foundation of who Christ is and who Christ is to them, who Christ is in them, and what their destiny really is to be Christ-like. God wants to do extraordinary signs and wonders for this generation. Jesus said, the works that I've done, you'll do even greater. But if it's not built on Christ-like character, supernatural Christ-like character, it won't last. And more damage will be done to his story than any good that can be done. Because it is his story, by the way. It's not your story. It's not about your unique experience and your pizzazz and the hair standing on the back of your head. You are plunged into Christ, into his story. And the body he used to tell his story in the gospel, he lived out a life of godliness. Now, godliness also results in a compassion to see people healed and set free. But I'm saying to you, as a prophetic word, and why this just small group at lunch? I don't know. And maybe I just need to speak it in the air. My staff's tired of hearing me say it. That if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? We're after fullness. Fullness. For the church is the fullness of him who fills all and in all in a personal life in the body of Christ. Jesus wants to express his fullness in you in Christ-like character, in supernatural, miraculous, resting holiness. And then he wants to express himself through you in the signs and wonders of a compassionate God who wants to see people set free and healed. But more and more I'm discovering and finding people who can just move in extraordinary prophetic giftings, and they're bold and they'll go for it. But the character of their life, the fruit of the Spirit, sketchy. I remember John Wimber one time said, one of the great men of God of this generation, who was a spiritual father in my life, when his church first got started in Anaheim, one of the famous churches in the world, one of the great movements, the Vineyard Movement, brought so many people into the things of the Spirit who were Baptist and Anglicans and all those kind of things. He said, I got a church of 2,000 people. He said, the average age is 19. He said, it's numberless how many people I got, gum-chewing 18-year-olds that can come up to you and give you a prophetic word. but they're so immature. And he had a passion to raise up a people who were mature, because God wanted to trust more with them and through them. My prayer, my prophetic prayer, is that we, this generation, we get it right. Us spiritual fathers, don't take for granted, us grandfathers, this generation God's raising up has got their foundations down. We got to make sure there's got to be in the beginning. We don't just start with signs and wonders. We start with Christ-likeness in you, and then Christ-likeness through you in supernatural ministry. They got to be together. Amen?
Amen.
In the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.